know my hiding my key tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National. This from NZTA, State Highway 6, currently open between Makarora and Franz Josef. It'll be closed overnight tonight between Makarora and Franz Josef from 9 p.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow. It'll close between 9 tonight and 10 a.m. Thursday, 11th of April as well. We'll keep you up to date with any weather that you'll need to know in that western region. And if you are there, if you live in that area, text us 2101. How are you finding it at the moment? But this evening, all News Hub operations are to be shut down. TVNZ Sunday cancelled after 22 years, a watershed day for media in this country that soon. Also today, people are more worried about scams than climate change. Have you ever been scammed, small or large? Get in touch. We've already had some responses to that. And waves went through the fashion industry today as one of New Zealand's most renowned fashion labels, Kate Sylvester, announced its closing after 31 years. And also on the panel, a survey today shows that just 17% of Kiwis say they happily hug others in public. Do we lack humanity? Are you okay with the odd hug from a friend or colleague? You can text me 2101. You can email the panel at rnz.co.nz. With me today, Joe McCarroll, the editor of NZ Gardener. Kia ora, Joe.
Kia ora, Wallace.
And for the first time in what feels like 3 or 4 years, Martin Cocker, founder and director of the Online Safety Exchange. Martin, it is very nice to see you. It's very nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Good to have you here. Good to have you both on. And straight to this. Well, it was confirmed this morning. All News Hub operations to be shut down and 250 people will lose their jobs. The shutdown includes the company's website. Former shows included the likes of Campbell Live, The Project, Nightline, 360. The last 6 p.m. news bulletin will air on July the 5th. We are losing something amazing today, Patrick Gower told media. Meanwhile, this show here has been cancelled.
Don't touch my card or I will have the cops on you. Now, off.
Did you kill him?
No, I did not.
Reported John Hudson there on a Sunday episode, the final broadcast of the 22-year-long form journalism show TVNZ Sunday will be May the 19th. And yesterday, the 47-year-long Fair Go was axed, looking to survive and appeared back digital form. Broadcasting Minister Melissa Lee told Checkpoint a few minutes ago that she is talking with the Prime Minister today about today's News Hub and TVNZ job losses. She says she's going through the cabinet process and she does have ideas, but they're a secret. With us is Dan Lake, ex-News Hub staff of over 15 years, tweeted earlier today, no words. Dan, kia ora.
Well, those public hugs are quite welcome to come this way today. And I think so many people that have been working at TV3 at any point during their career, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, for you, Dan, when you first heard it, it wasn't really new news, was it? Because we talked a few weeks ago. But
yes.
How to sum up today's announcement for you, Dan?
For me, it's like, for me personally, my connection to that place goes as far back in my life as I can remember. As a kid, I used to build the TV3 newsroom out of Lego. When I was 12, I used to write letters to people like John Campbell and Leanne Malcolm, who did Nightline at the time, talking about how I wanted their jobs. And then through, eventually managed to get a job there. It was actually the son of Kevin Milne from Fair Go who originally sent me a job link to get a job at TV3. And that started the 16 or so years that I spent there.
So on that note, this, you can imagine how devastating, not just for the likes of you as ex-staffers, but just for those people who walked into that meeting this morning and out they came. You could see it on their faces.
Could see it on their faces. And I think over the years, TV3 and News Hub and 3 News has had so many of these moments where bad news is coming. You know, there's been redundancies. There was the Weldon CEO era where he went through the place with an axe. And there's always been that feeling of what's just around the corner. But I think even after the most recent announcement a few weeks ago, that there really was a sense that surely they can't get rid of this because it means too much to New Zealand. Surely it's not going. because it is just such a huge part of New Zealand's culture. I mean, Kia Ora Good Evening, the use of Kia Ora started on Nightline, you know, and that just kind of spread from there. You think of all the iconic stories and you know, coverage that's come through that newsroom, and I don't think anyone expected that it would actually be switched off.
Dan, I wondered if you had any thoughts on the fact that advertising is the main revenue stream for that kind of terrestrial commercial media, and the advertising revenue isn't there, and I'm a journalist too, and I work for a media company where we are funded also by partly by advertising. Is the landscape got scale to allow that kind of traditional media to exist?
I think it definitely needs some remodelling, and changes definitely need to be made just through, you know, terrestrial television is on the way out, and there's so much infrastructure that's in that building that is all around terrestrial television. But then you look at other countries of similar sizes, and even states in Australia, you know, with similar populations, and they still have multiple commercial networks with evening news bulletins on. So, you know, the audience for leaving TV, perhaps maybe a bit faster in New Zealand, but I still didn't think that it would get to the point where there would be absolutely no TV bulletin. Yes, things would move more digitally. I remember when Melissa Lee said that she gets her news on her phone. How does it get on her phone? It's people in newsrooms that are putting it on there. So, you know, you still need the people that are putting that news together.
Well, very nice to have you here, Dan. And look, all the best. And thanks again for joining us. It's Dan Lake, ex-News Hub staff, over 15 years. And with us and listening to that is Sarah Baker, an Associate Professor of Communication Studies at Auckland University of Technology, who wrote a very interesting piece called The Demise of TVNZ Sunday Spells the End of Long-Form Current Affairs, just when we need it most. Sarah, kia ora.
Kia ora, Wallace.
Just on this News Hub thing first, announcement, does this mean a country of nearly 6 million people having just one major broadcast news network? That would be fairly unusual, I can imagine.
Oh, it is unusual. And I also think that it's a sign of, in terms of journalism and democracy, going backwards. And it's something that should be prioritised. But we've seen this coming for so long, I suppose, that it's still a shock to see this.
Martin.
I was just thinking, that doesn't Māori Television have a news service? We seem to have completely ignored that they'll still exist.
Fair point.
Yeah, it might be a real opportunity for them to fill a gap and, you know, and do that. I think, like, I'm not a journalist, and I'm sitting in a building with all of you, so I've got to try to make it out afterwards. But there are a lot of businesses closing at the moment. You know, technology is disrupting a lot of businesses. It's tough times economically. So, you know, there's a lot of people having or feeling a very similar way. You know, that they've been part of a team, that they've, you know, done good things in their business, and, you know, time's come to an end. So, I mean, I don't know if what I see from the media from the outside is this kind of continuation of a model that doesn't seem to quite work. And, you know, as revenue declines, the sort of idea that we've just got to find other places to get that revenue for that same model. But what we've seen all around the world is that, you know, totally different business models now work thanks to technology. And so I guess there's a different way to deliver the news.
What would you say to that, Sarah, that, you know, there are so many other sectors losing their jobs? Join the queue.
Yes, but I also think there are public goods that we need, and news and current affairs are part of that. Because, I mean, it's a kind of clumsy comparison, but if we turned around and said the same of hospitals, people would be outraged. And ultimately, if we don't have strong information and ways to get information to people, democracy suffers. It's not just a slogan. So in that respect, I actually think the government does need to step up. But we've had this coming for years, but it's still vital that this gets addressed, because news does short treatment of stories, but we need that in-depth analysis in order to tell more complicated stories. And so you can still innovate, you could still do that, but we do still, in my view, we should still have that.
I actually wouldn't mind just making a comment on that too, Martin, because I think that's a really interesting point, that people look for alternatives and they look for alternatives that technology delivers. But I think in terms of news, and I freely admit I am a journalist, I have skin in the game, you know, my position is not unbiased, but we've never had access to so much information. Like, there's information everywhere. We can just get information every minute of every day in so many different ways. But so people feel like they've got access to information all the time, and they can get it, you know, on all these different portals, which, you know, like Reddit or Facebook or X or Instagram or whatever your portal of choice is. And what they don't realise is there is a difference between information that is delivered to you through a portal using an algorithm that tends to be effectively designed to antagonise you, because that makes you a better customer, and information that is delivered by professionals.
Yeah. Hey there, Sarah. Martin doesn't buy it.
Well, he is. I'm sitting closest to the door for the people who don't. I would say that I do sort of understand that argument, but the media hasn't convinced people that it's providing information that's more reliable. I mean, the research that came out, I'm going to quote the wrong people if I tell you who it was, but research has come out the last few days talking about the decline in trust.
The AUT Trust Survey.
AUT Trust Survey. So, you know, on the one hand, I'm saying I agree. The News Hub team create great stories, they do the research, you know, very reliable news source, but people don't see it that way. They're quite happy to look at, you know, a feed that comes up, not check where it's from, etc. So there's a different problem to solve than, you know,
okay, well, let's shoot that back to Sarah. Yes. That AUT Trust Survey, probably from your colleagues, actually.
Yes,
Sarah,
well,
so what of that? I mean, doesn't Martin have a point? Trust has dropped, including, I may say, RNZ.
But at the same time, we've had, like, we've got problems with misinformation and disinformation and that kind of thing. It's all very well to say the trust in the media has gone down, but at the same time, if we don't have the media, that's a completely different landscape, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, I mean, you can see the trust in the media goes up and down, or, you know, and they model this on the international studies and that kind of thing. But I do think this is a separate issue to the fact that if you don't have that in place, you have nothing.
Let me
and
ask,
what is a democracy doing with nothing?
Well, let me ask you, Martin, then. For that person who has been slammed by a dodgy builder and out of pocket for $20,000, and if you don't have a fair go, for that district that has been slammed by logs smashing down their bridges and ruining their land, like the likes of what we saw in Gisborne, if you don't have long-form journalism, who do people like that turn to? Where do they go?
Well, in theory, if there's a vacuum for a service, something will fill it, right? So
really?
Well, I mean, that's the theory, isn't it? That if there's no fair go for us to say, well, I'll call fair go, then somebody else will see that opportunity and fill it, and, you know, theoretically with a much lower cost model. Look, I'm not off the top of my head sitting here. I'm not coming up with a model myself, but you know, that's the theory. That if there's a need, there will be a service to provide.
Finally, Sarah, so what of the future? A broadcaster minister said she was coy around a levy idea, of which others have put in place, for example, Australia. She said she does have ideas, but they're a secret. Do you have any ideas?
Oh, I think that in the end, there's a basic reality that if you want these things, you have to pay for them. And how that gets funded, I mean, the government should probably step up and do something, or help TVNZ out and actually make sure that this actually exists, and realise that, you know, this idea of a vacuum being filled and people are going to come up with it, it's expensive to make this stuff. It's expensive to make these programs, and you can still innovate and you can still do things differently and actually do this and realise that it's a service that you're providing to actually enhance democracy. Because exactly as you said, Wallace, well, what happens if you want to go and you want to call someone up and get the journalists involved and they're not there? So I think there's a basic reality that they need to get their head around these problems, because this is really a kind of disaster for journalism and for democracy in New Zealand. Whatever anyone thinks of these programs or the quality at this point, but to have nothing and have it cut down like this is it's actually a very sad day for democracy.
A very sad day for democracy. Sarah Baker, kia ora, thank you for your time. That's Associate Professor in Communication Studies at AUT. 23 past six, there's a lot of feedback coming on that. Thank you so much. And, great thoughts, Joe and Martin, on that. But to this, and speaking of news that we need to use and we need to highlight, your text already coming in about being scammed. Gosh, there's a lot of it. I was scammed last year by a fraudulent NZ Transport email saying I owed money for bills. I've been travelling throughout NZ for work and was very tired and busy, so I thought, I better pay this. So I did. Then Westpac got back to me very quickly and said, scammed. And I never thought I would be. And on that, a new report from Kiwi cybersecurity agency CERT NZ has drawn some unexpected conclusions about what Kiwis are really worried about. The big one is that of 1,000 adults surveyed across the Motu, 93% said cybersecurity was important for New Zealand, higher than climate change. To give us a fuller understanding, we have Sam Leggett, a senior analyst at CERT NZ. Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, thank you for having me on.
Well, that grabbed our attention here, that people have more concern for cybersecurity than climate change. But goodness, you know, hearing some of the, frankly, frightening stories, one shouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. And a recent round of research that we did shows that over 50% of New Zealanders have experienced an online security incident in the last 6 months. And I think that goes to why it's such a concern. You know, even if you're one of the people that haven't suffered one of these incidents, you probably know someone that has, someone close to you that's gone through it. So in that sense, and given that a lot of the time this also comes with financial loss as a result, not to mention the emotional harm that can come as a result of these things, it's not all that surprising that it's a pretty big concern for New Zealanders at the moment.
And Martin, the financial loss is actually in some cases quite extraordinary, be it $1,000 up to $60,000.
Yeah.
And quite intelligent scamming.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this is something we've been talking about for a long time. I know it's been getting quite a bit more media attention lately, but you know, scams have been a problem for, well, as long as the internet's been, been improving. And now with the addition of AI, scams are going to get more effective.
Really?
We could have a whole session just on AI. The thing with AI is it enables you to create very bespoke, very targeted anything, and that includes scams and fraud and that sort of thing. But also AI has this capability to generate new ideas for criminals. So that's the, like, very serious kind of end of worry for people who work in the space. But people are losing a lot of money, and the existing system, with, you know, the best will in the world from the agencies that are working on it, is not working. The money is lost and you don't recover it. So
that,
and we know too
sorry
many
that is
that
really
place.
Scary to think that the worst is yet to come. Stay there, Sam. Let's bring in Joe in as well.
Well, Sam, I just wondered, I think there was a report last year, might have been another year ago, from Consumer about financial cybercrime, calling for the banks to do more. You know, in the UK, there's a voluntary code. We don't have anything like that. Do you think the banks should take more responsibility to protect and refund customers?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a discussion going on around that at the moment, specifically in regards to, it sort of gets broken down into authorised transfer of money and unauthorised transfer of money. So unauthorised is when the bad guys actually get into your account and they make that transfer. Authorised is when you've actually done it yourself. But the reality is when you're doing that yourself, it's under coercion. You've been deceived. You've been tricked by these messages, by these emails, by these scammers who are calling people. And so I think the conversation at the moment is really around that. You know, can the banks say it's not their liability when their customers are being deceived and tricked and convinced to make these transfers? The research that we've recently done is all around cybersecurity behaviours, positive cybersecurity behaviours, really focusing on preventing these things from happening in the first place. The reality is we know you may lose that money, you may not be able to get it back. If you lose access to your social media account, you may not be able to get that back. I'm not too sure how concerned Facebook are about individuals losing access to those accounts. So what we're really trying to encourage is getting people in New Zealand to onboard some of these positive cybersecurity behaviours that we can prevent this stuff from happening in the first place.
And just as we speak, I mean, just today, Sam, there was yet another scam. People being called, apparently police calling them to warn about scams. They weren't police. So, you know, there are various permutations of scamming.
And aren't they holding back on that technology that can dupe voices, the AI technology that can dupe voices?
Oh, that technology is all available. Oh. I mean, you can use it now. And, you know, scammers can use it just like we can use it, I suppose. That technology is available and out there. It's being deployed. I mean, people are experiencing that now. And, you know, we talk about the banks and yeah, the banks are actually pretty good, and certainly when it comes to credit card fraud on unauthorized attempts on your card, they're pretty good at spotting, you know, when someone from the wrong country uses your card, that sort of thing. But this authorized transactions is a real problem, because that's when you take the money out of your bank account and give it to the scammers, and the banks are saying, well, you made that choice, and yeah. You know,
if you had a call from someone who sounded like your granddaughter saying, "I desperately need this money urgently," I
totally
it's
get
such
that.
Such a difficult.
But we don't, you know, like, but to put that on the banks and say, "Well, because I got tricked, you're responsible for stopping me," you know, I mean, there is more the banks could do, and there are, you know, there are things that they could make it more difficult for us to make mistakes, I suppose, but you know, at some point, that's the right. Issue with scams is that it comes back to the person who is scammed,
yeah,
reversing that transaction or stopping that transaction.
If you want to find out some key things you can do to protect yourself, you can go to the CertNZ website, CERTNZ. Just Google it. Just a final note there. Interestingly, it seems like younger people are less concerned. Sam, why is that?
I think it's a confidence thing. So younger people, obviously growing up with technology, using it in their everyday lives a lot more, they're confident in using technology, they're confident in being online, but actually what that means is that they're less likely to take action to improve their cybersecurity, and this leaves them at a bit of additional risk. One example that I'll give you is password reuse is a real major concern when it comes to cybersecurity. Look, human nature, it's pretty hard to remember 100 different long, strong passwords, yes. But when we use the same password across all of our accounts, if that gets snatched in a phishing campaign, if it gets breached in a data breach, that means that all of our accounts could now be at risk. So just on that front, you know, encouraging behaviors like at least using different long, strong passwords on those really important accounts, your bank account, your email, social media, IRD, things like that. If you just start with those accounts, and even if that's all you do, that's going to put you in a much better position.
Oh, that's really great advice. Prevention. Yeah. Long, strong passwords on the key. I'm going to change my passwords tonight.
Interesting admission.
Then we've made progress.
One by one.
One by one, yeah.
What about using a password sort of app or something like that,
yeah,
Sam?
Yeah, a password manager. Yeah, look, I strongly recommend it.
Okay.
I
couldn't manage without it, yeah.
Thanks for the heads up. I went through this process myself of, you know, changing the password on all your accounts and getting it in a password manager. But it actually makes things simpler once you've gone through that process. I'll level with you. Going through that process is going to be a bit of a pain. It's going to be time-consuming. But once you've done it, then you're in a position where you only have to remember the one password, the master password for that password manager. And it is really important you make sure that password is as long, strong, and unique as you can make it. Keep all your passwords nice and safe. I also recommend you get two-factor authentication for that password manager, additional layer of protection. But once you've gone through this process, that password manager is going to keep all those passwords nice and safe for you, remember them for you, generate them for you, make sure they're all nice and long and strong. So it's going to put you in a much more secure position.
You're not, Sam, this is the first time I've ever said this in my 10 years here. I'm going to go back and listen to my own show and remind myself of what you just said. That's great information. I'm really pleased I got you on. Thank you. That's Sam Leggett, a senior analyst at CertNZ. That password app sounds really good.
Oh, a password manager, because that means you can use the ones that are like /.
Thank you for that.
3, 4, which you'd never remember.
Someone says, I was on scam. Have you been scammed? I was on Google Chat, open to the world and dodgy, groomed romantically. But as soon as she asked for money, it was obviously a scam, as genuine people just don't ask for money ever, let alone a dating site, is Marcus's point of view, who's 63 and widowed, says Marcus. So have you been scammed? What were your experiences? You're on the panel, RNZ National. We are with Martin Cocker and Joe McCarroll.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.